Well, Glory, I believe we could go home right now and this day would be sealed and satisfying, but I believe God does have a word for you today that He wants you to hear. Are you ready to receive? Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Not what Pastor Todd is saying, but what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Somebody say, I am the church.
I am the church.
You are the church. Each one of us, individually and made up as a whole, we are the church. We are the church. And we have an important role in these last days. Amen? I want you to hear about that. Glory to God. You can turn that piano off if you don't mind. That was wonderful. Thank you. Elaine, you can stop playing that. Oh, glory to God. Well, first of all, I want to thank two people. It's been 3 weeks since I've been up here, and I missed you all. I missed you all desperately. You don't know how much I missed you all. But I did not let that keep me from having a good time in your absence. We had a wonderful trip, spent some time on the beach. The kids really enjoyed, did a lot of snorkeling, saw a lot of cool stuff, had some other things happen that I won't go into, but it just made the trip interesting. But I'm glad to be back, and I want to thank two people specifically that God is using, not used, but is using to bring the Word to the body. Amen? And Brother Bob Goad, thank you so much. I heard your message on the website. Y'all know you can go to our website and hear messages that you miss. You can do that. Go there, click on podcasts. I listen to it. We all need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Strong in the Lord. We need strength for these days ahead. And I thank Bob for bringing that message. And I mean, the Word even says that what in these last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming on the earth. So we need to be strong in the Lord. And I'll take you back to Proverbs where it says, a strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily trouble and pain. We need to be strong in the Lord. So thank you for that message, brother. And then, of course, Wanda, it was our fifth Sunday, and she brought the Word in prayer. And that Word was not my will, but your will, Lord. Your will be done. How important is that? In these last days, that we be following the will of the Lord and not our own selfish will. Amen. That is hard to do in these times because I think all of the world is against us when it is coming to us fulfilling the Lord's will, because the world is telling you, feed self, make self happy. The whole world is coming against you with that message. So in these last days, in these trying times, we have to remember that very important message that, no, Lord, not my will be done. I don't want to feed my flesh. Let me feed my spirit, man, and let your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So a timely word, and that's going to continue to play out as we look and dig deeper into the message, I believe, today, because I believe it's a challenging word. I believe we can read that and just glaze over it. You know, we can say that, we can pray that, no, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, and just glaze over it. But it is important to get revelation of what His will is for our life, what His will is for this church. We are a strategic church. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about that. I know we introduced that whole thing when, you know, and brought that prophecy, that word back to remembrance that was given a while back. But you're going to be hearing more about how Christian Growth Center is a strategic church and what our role is in this New River Valley. Because there is a lost and dying community out there. It's called the New River Valley. And we. Say I.
I
am responsible. You don't have to say that. If you want to, you can. We are responsible to go out and be winsome and preach the good news to the community that we live in. This is our territory. And we have to take it back, right? Take back what the enemy has stolen. He has stolen lives. He has stolen property. He has stolen finances from the kingdom. We are here. We are his voice. We just sung about being a voice. We are his voice in this earth to take back those things that have been stolen. Especially starting right here in our community. So we are in important times. Not that any other time in history hasn't been important, but we are in the culmination of the ages, I believe, when we are going to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, what must we be doing? Well, just like Jesus was at 12, 13, 14 years old, we must be about the Father's business and doing the Father's business. Amen? So I want to kind of just, I want to piggyback on what I was sharing 3 weeks ago. Anybody remember? 3 weeks ago? No doubt. No doubt. The law of asking. Praise God. Somebody was here. I think maybe all y'all might have been out that week and you just came back for this week. But praise God you're here, because I am going to recap just a little to get us back into that vein of thinking. And then we're going to go and move into obedience. Obedience. And that just goes right along with what Wanda was sharing about the Lord's will be done, not our will. Amen? I talked about the law of asking, and I think this came out on a Wednesday night. I don't think it was Sunday, but this is a quote from John Wesley. Everybody know who John Wesley was? He one of the founders of the Methodist denomination. Thank you, Gene. John Wesley, and really, I mean, an evangelist, really. I mean, that's really where so many lives changed by this man. But this is a quote from him. He said, "God can do nothing in the earth unless someone first asks him." That's powerful. Listen, this is an all-powerful God who created the earth and the heavens and the stars and everything within them. And this man is saying he can't do anything unless someone in the earth asks him. Well, because our God is a just God and he follows the laws. He follows the laws, and that's why he sent Jesus into the earth, because he couldn't have dominion in the earth. It was given to Satan by Adam. God gave it to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan. Satan rules in this earth. But Jesus came and gave it back to us. But we have to take it. We have to receive it. We have to claim it. We have to voice it. We have to speak it. And we have to ask. Amen? So I gave you a definition. Just a quick refresher of what a law is. The system of rules that a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members and may enforce by the imposition of penalties. And so I said, I shared, when we hear the word law, I mean, immediately almost our brain thinks penalties, right? I mean, you break a law, you receive a penalty, right? But that's not how a spiritual law works. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more too. But with a spiritual law, when you obey a spiritual law, you are rewarded. You are rewarded. And we talked about that. I'm not going to go into great detail. If you want to find out, just go back to our website, click on podcasts, and you can listen to it again. Amen? But I shared four things, and really it's three, because the last two kind of mingle together. But we have to ask. We have to ask in faith, no wavering, no doubt. We have to obey. If we hear something, it has to be according to his will, right? Do y'all remember? Is it coming back to your memory? And I shared this scripture out of James chapter 1, verse 5, and I just wrote it down here. I'll read it, but James 1, verse 5, and the King James reads this way, "If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you If any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when we ask, we cannot waver. It must be in faith. And that's part of our message here at Christian Growth Center, right? We are sowing faith in people's lives. Sowing faith so they can grow in righteousness and understand that when they ask, they have to ask with no wavering, no doubt. Cannot be double-minded. Stop vacillating, I said. Make a decision. Hold on to it with that crocodile-like faith. Does anybody remember that? Crocodile-like faith. For those of you who weren't here, crocodiles have the highest pounds per square inch bite of the entire animal kingdom. 5,000 pounds per square inch, as compared to you when you're chewing a steak, is about 150 pounds per square inch. That is some power. And that's the kind of power we need to grab onto with our faith and hold on to. When we hear something from God, He tells us, He shares something with us, shows us something. When we're believing for something in our life, we need to hold on to it with that crocodile-like faith and not let go. Amen? But we must also be obedient when the Holy Spirit shares something with us. You know, when a word came forth on a Wednesday night, and I am promoting Wednesday night. Y'all should all be here. Wednesday night prayer. It's the time where we set aside to seek out God's will for Christian Growth Center as a corporate body. So when we come together on Wednesday night, words come forth. And one word that came forth on a Wednesday night through Carol was that we are going to ask for the nations. Be bold and ask for the nations. And we say nations, you know, nations at that time were people that didn't have a relationship with God. So we can say we are asking for the nations. We are asking for the New River Valley. We are asking for the lost, for the unsaved of this New River Valley. And we can do that boldly because it says it in His Word. It says to ask for the nations. So we can do that. We can ask for the nations and then be obedient to the Holy Spirit when He shows us how to be winsome to them. We must be obedient, though. Just like Jesus, when He called Peter out. Y'all know that. Peter was in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter sees Him. They're all terrified, thinking they've seen an apparition, ghost. Peter yells at, "Lord, if it be You, bid me come." Jesus said, "Come." Peter was obedient. He took that step, walked on the water. He was obedient to the Word of God, right? Just like the time when they were out fishing, been toiling all night long. These were professional fishermen. They knew what they were doing. Toiling all night long, hadn't caught a thing. Jesus said, "Cast your net off the side of the boat. Launch out into the deep. Cast your net." "But Lord, we've been fishing all night. We know what we're doing." That's like me going up to Gene and telling him how to build a bridge. "Todd, I think I got this under control. I've been doing it for four, I don't know how many years you did it. Long time. Been doing it a long time. What are you talking about?" "Well, I drive on them bridges. I know how they operate to keep you up, you know." But no, they were obedient to His Word, right? They cast their nets and went. They took in a draw. So much that their nets began to break. So when we hear a word, we need to be obedient to follow it. Turn to 1 Samuel Chapter 15. This was referenced last week, but it fits in this week. Let me read this out of the Amplified. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 said, "Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?'" This is a question. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifices. What's he talking about there? To obey is better than sacrifices. Well, Matthew Henry put it this way. Matthew Henry has a very well-known commentary on the entire Bible. He said it this way: sacrifice is a feeble attempt to take that away which would have been prevented by obedience. You see, the Israelites were called to sacrifice all these things for all these different reasons. This happens, you sacrifice this. You do this every time this year. Sacrifice this bull. Sacrifice this lamb. Sacrifice this dove. Sacrifice this. Sacrifice. They were called to sacrifice. But the word is saying that obedience, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Which is easier? Is it easier to grab an animal and put it on the altar and burn it? Or is it easier to take every thought captive to the obedience of the Christ? Which of those is easier? Come on, y'all have had thoughts, right, that enter your mind? Thoughts that won't go away, that keep pulling at you? Certainly it's easier to take something physical and throw it on a fire than to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, it's popular these days. We want to work our way into heaven. You know, it's called a doctrine of works. And it's out there still. I know here you might not believe that because we are a place of faith. You know, we preach faith. We teach faith. We believe. But there is doctrine throughout the world that think they have to work their way to heaven. They think they have to sacrifice to get close to God. Do you see what I'm saying? We want to work our way into heaven with our deeds or our sacrifices, or make ourselves feel like better Christians by the things we do or the sacrifices that we do, rather than simply believing and obeying. Believing and obeying. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about obeying the Word of God. I'm talking about laying aside all personal revelation of what you think self needs, self wants. Laying that all aside. Taking up your cross. Being obedient to the Word. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, unless they are the offering of the heart, says the Lord? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts without obedience, says the Amplified. And I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats without righteousness." To what purpose? To what purposes are your sacrifices unless they are the offering of the heart? In Mark it says that we honor Him with our lips, but our heart is far from Him. You know, we got to offer more than lip service. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, they sacrificed animals for their relationship with God. We no longer have to do that. We just have to be obedient. We have to believe. We have to have faith. We can't doubt. We can't waver. We have to be obedient. God doesn't delight in sacrifices, but He rewards obedience. But in order to receive that reward, you must ask. And it's the Father's good pleasure. It's His good pleasure to give unto His children. How did you get born again? I pray that all of you are born again and are in relationship with Jesus. How did you get that way? Didn't you ask? Didn't you ask, Lord, however you said it, be my Savior, be my Lord and Savior, come into my heart, I give you first place. However you said that, you asked. And because He's a just God, that's the only way He can come into your life is if you ask. But it doesn't stop there at salvation. That is how He operates in His entire Word. In order for Him to do anything in this earth, we have to ask first. And ask in faith. That crocodile-like faith, no doubt. And then obey. Obey God's will, not your own. Hebrews 12 says that we have a race to run. Each of us individually has a race to run. We got to run our race. We can't run someone else's race. We have to run our race. Well, how do we know what that race is? Todd, how do we know? Well, you're in relationship with God. If you're born again, you have an open door policy to seek God. And what did He just say? We read it. Ask. If you lack wisdom, ask. He'll give it to you liberally. Right? He'll give it to you liberally. But we must be obedient to run our race. And let me say this. Lives, this is, I don't know, this seems heavy hitting to me, but I believe that you, I know Wanda said she stepped on some toes. I hope I'm not stepping on more and making them worse. But we have to be obedient to run our race because I believe lives depend upon it. You know, there's some responsibility there. Lives depend upon each one of us running our race. My life depended on my wife, Nikki, inviting me to church. My life depended on Pastor Rob answering the call of God on his life and preaching the uncompromised word. Why? Because I got born again. My life was changed. I was plucked up and out of the pit of hell and translated into His kingdom, the kingdom of His light. My life was changed because of people being obedient. I mean, Nikki could have very easily rode by and said, oh, he's good looking, but I don't think I'm going to talk to him. He sure does have a nice smile and twinkling eyes, but I'm just going to pass on by. She could have done that. But thank God she didn't. She invited me here. And thank God, Pastor Rob. You know, I'm sure that times weren't, you know, it is, you know, I've shared some statistics about church plants and you know, how hard that is. And we are here 35 years after a church plant. That is a testimony in and of itself. And thank God, Pastor Rob and Tricia answered that call on their life those years, so many years ago. And when I came in, I heard the word from my pastor, which was right out of the heart of God. And it changed my life. Out of their obedience. Do you see the correlation? But Hebrews 12 says we have a race to run. We got to run our own race because lives depend upon it. Lives. I want to share a dream that I had. I didn't know if I was going to share it, but I think this is the right time to share it. I think you are the right people. And I think somebody, if not multiple people in here, are going to benefit tremendously from this dream. I say a dream. What is it? Is it old men dreams, young visions? I had a vision. I think it's young people have visions, old people have dreams. I had a vision, okay? The Lord came to me in the middle of the night in a vision, not a dream, because I'm still young. We're all young, amen. But I had this dream, and here's the dream. I'm going to give you the dream. It was as if someone was recording something with their phone or a camera, right? And I was watching the tape of that, or, you know, I was watching what they were recording in the dream. And the dream was there was this couple that had a young child. And this is what I took from the dream. They were trying to start up a zoo, if you will. So they were bringing all these animals into this property that they had purchased. They were bringing all these trucks in with all these animals, you know, giraffes. I saw hippopotamuses. I saw elephants. I saw ostriches. All these exotic animals as if it were a zoo, right? They were bringing them together. They were going to establish a zoo. And as they were bringing all these animals in and they were unloading them off the trucks, some of the animals got away from them. And so they were trying to get the animals and corral them into the pens and or load them back on the truck, wherever was close. They were distracted by these animals getting loose. And in that distraction, their young child, and I just estimated him to be around 3, 4, 5 maybe. In their distraction, this young child kind of slipped through the gate. And there was the best way I know to describe it, when I was young, we had these, we call them culverts, but, you know, the curb and gutter. And after a big storm would come, there'd be a big, you know, stream, if you will, going down the gutter. And we would, you know, build little boats out of paper and stick them in there and float things down. That's the best way I know how to describe it. There was kind of like a little stream like that. It wasn't a set stream. It wasn't a creek. It was something like after a downpour. And so there's this little stream. So he slipped out of the gate, and there's this little stream of water. And he sees this piece of cardboard, a big piece of cardboard, and he gets on the piece of cardboard, just like I did with those little boats floating them down. He gets on the piece of cardboard and gets out into this little flow of water. And I'm watching this, right? So someone's videoing it. So the video is going to the people, and they're dealing with the animals getting loose, and then it'll pan over to this little boy who's riding on this piece of cardboard down this little stream. And then, you know, pans back to the family, and they're trying to get the animals, and pans, and the little boy falls asleep on the piece of cardboard. And he's floating down the stream. And so the camera, I'm watching this through the camera, and it goes back to the couple. They're still dealing with the animals. It goes back to him. He's falling asleep. He's floating. And then it pans down further down the stream, and there's this crocodile swimming upstream. And it pans back to the family. They're still getting the animals taken care of. Pans to the little boy. He's still asleep on the cardboard. Pans to the crocodile, and it's getting closer. It's getting closer. So they're going like this. And I'm telling you, this is as real as if I was there. But I'm watching it through this viewer. And all of a sudden, the crocodile gets about up to where the boy is. He's still asleep. And just as easy and calm, that gator just kind of reaches over and devours that little boy. And the camera is watching this, and it pans back to the parents, and they're still dealing with the animals, and it pans back to the crocodile and the little boy, and the time it pans back that you can just see, and I don't want to be, it was very vivid, okay? You can just see the shoulder of the little boy in the crocodile. I'm like, God. And it's panning and pans back. The parents are still dealing with it. I'm like, Lord, why are you showing me this? What? And I woke up and I was in a, you know, kind of like a sweat. Just like, I said, Lord, give me the interpretation of this, please. What is the why did you show me this? There's something to this. What is the interpretation of it? And the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And this is the interpretation He gave me. The parents represent the world. The child is a child of the world. The crocodile is the enemy. The person taking the film is the church. The world is so distracted that it is allowing the enemy to devour its children. And the church is standing by and doing nothing about it. Do you see that we have a responsibility? Do you see the seriousness of our call of to be the church. I know I have you say that. I have for several Sundays. I am the church. But what does that mean? What does that look like? We have a responsibility to be the church. We have a responsibility to this community to take back what the enemy is trying to devour. It was as real as if I'm standing here talking to you. The world is so distracted with all these things that are going on, whether it be rumors of wars or whether it be loss of jobs or whether it be broken relationships or whether it be pursuit of money or pursuit of physical means and goods. All these things to distract. And I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about the world. The world is deceived and distracted. And while they are, the next generation is being devoured by the enemy. And we are just sitting by watching it happen. So what is required to run your race is my question. You have a race to run. You have a gift, a call of God. What is it? And what is required to run it? If you don't know, ask of God. But obey what He says when He tells you. Because He will tell you. When we obey, when we all walk in obedience, there is blessing that comes with that. And I'm not just talking about blessing for yourself. But when you are blessed by walking in obedience, you bless others. Just that my example with my wife and Pastor Rob. My life was blessed. And I believe they were blessed too. Well, I believe she was. She got me. But when you walk in obedience, you will receive blessing. Turn to Genesis chapter 22 in verse 17. And I wrote it out, or I typed it out, or I didn't. I copied and pasted, okay? And I'm just going to read it off my note. But Genesis 22 verse 17, it's talking about Abraham here. It says, "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Someone say, I am the seed of Abraham. I know it's talking about Jesus here, but we are the offspring of God through Jesus Christ. So therefore, we are the seed of Abraham. And what did I just read about the seed? It says it will possess the gate of its enemies, will be victorious, and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. Carol, that goes right back to asking for the nations. We can do that. We can ask for the nations, and they will be blessed because of us. Amen? Why? Because we have obeyed His voice. And that is why we can boldly ask. No wavering, no doubt. Crocodile-like faith. Ask for the nations. Ask for the New River Valley. Ask for the lost. Ask for the downtrodden. Ask for the oppressed. Ask. Just another example of blessing out of obedience, your children are blessed when they're obedient. Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." All of us were children at one time. But those that have children, in their obedience to you as father or mother, you can claim long life over them in the earth because it's what the Word says. But children, you got to be obedient. Second Timothy says, in the last days, children will be disobedient. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the days before the coming of the Lord. The children will be disobedient to their parents. That's, you know, I read that. And I believe that. And I believe that the last generation, this is where I believe the last generation prior to the return of Jesus, which I believe we are, we're in those times, will be the shortest in years for the children of the world because they've been disobedient to their parents. That's why we got to get them while they're young. That's, I believe, what that dream was about, is that we've got to reach out into our community and get the youth taken back from the enemy. They're being deceived. People, they are being deceived. They're being deceived into thinking that this life or that life or this lifestyle or that lifestyle is the way to go. I'm telling you, though, they're missing something in their life and they're trying to fill it with all these other things. All these other things they're trying to fill it with. But we know. We have the answer. You, me, the church has the answer. We cannot sit by and watch as the enemy devours them. It's too late for that. We can't do that anymore. We have to rise up. The church has to awaken and stand and take its rightful ground, its rightful stand in this earth, its right, and take back territory that the enemy has stolen. And we can start right here, right in this valley. Exodus 11 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord of your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." We know that according to Galatians that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, right? We are redeemed from that curse that I just read. We are redeemed from that curse, that if we don't obey, that we're going to receive a curse. We're redeemed from that. He reversed the curse, right? But He did not reverse the blessing. That is still true. That part is still true. If we obey, then we will be blessed. He will bless us in obeying. It's called grace through Jesus. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say?" Some of us can take that to heart today. We're born again. We believe. We're going to heaven. But is He our Lord? Is He Lord of all? Are we seeking His will? Or are we doing our own? I'll close with this. I wrote this down. In obeying, there is blessing. That is why God wants us to obey, because that is how He blesses us. And like every good father, He wants to bless His children and give them what they ask for according to His will. So what are you asking God for? What are you asking Him for according to His will? Do you have big dreams? Well, it's going to take big faith. And how do you get big faith? By hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's how you build your faith up. I got a quote. I don't know if the Lord gave it to me or if I heard it somewhere else. But it's written right on my desk. If you want faith, you have to hear faith. So I hope that you are hearing faith day in and day out, whether that's through reading your word, whether that's through prayer time, personal relationship with the Father in prayer, whether that's listening to tapes or watching services on the internet, reading books by anointed men and women of God, whatever it is, I pray that you do it daily to increase your faith. Because we are in trying times and we have to have big faith to believe. I like, you know, Wanda's saying, she has trouble believing for the world, you know, or the United States or even for Virginia, but she can believe for the New River Valley. So I'm hooking up with that. I can believe for the New River Valley. I can start out there. You can start out with your friends, with your family. I'm sure there are many of us here that have family members that you know are lost and going to hell. Hell is a real place. You have to understand that. You have to have revelation of it. And I'm sure that you have family members that may be in that position. You can start there. I'm sure that you work alongside someone that you know is not born again. Is that difficult? Am I asking a tremendous thing? Maybe. You know, I know culture tells us we're not to talk about those things. Well, if we don't talk about them outside of here, who in the heck is going to get saved? I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I believe God can draw people. In fact, the Word says He draws them to Himself. And I believe that people will be drawn to Christian Growth Center because of what is happening here. And let me just tell you, there is something happening here. These are exciting times. If you ever wanted to get in on the ground floor of a company that just went public, I'm telling you, these are going to be exciting. I know we've been here for 35 years, but as we've said, there is a shift. There's a season change happening. There's a shift occurring. And we are going to see the greatest influx of souls the world has ever known in this last day harvest. Amen. And I want to be a part of it, don't you? Amen. I want Christian Growth Center to be a part of it, don't you? It's a strategic church. We have been placed here. I shared the word that came forth about the shift and the CGC being the epicenter and the waves going out from here. And those waves are you going out from here, reaching out into the community. So I want to keep that ever before you. Ever before you. I think it's great we come in here and we praise and we shout and we worship and we encourage one another and we lift one another up and we edify one another. But we need to know the importance of what we're doing as a body and as individuals. We got to keep that before us. And it's about souls. It is. I mean, it all boils down to soul. I believe we can have wonderful we are going to have a world-class young people's ministry going on. We are going to have world-class, highest technology available in praise and worship. We're going to do all of this, but it all stems and it all facilitates souls, winning souls. That's fine. We can do all that. We can have all those things because we want to do things with excellence. But it comes down to souls, winning souls. What are we doing to win souls? All that is for nothing if we're not winning souls. If we're just boosting ourselves up. Wow. Well, glory to God.